Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everything's good? You were gone for a little bit.
I was out working, if I ask you, or I was on vacation, if I ask Phil.
Wait a second.
You caught that also? Gosh.
I listen to the show and
you're
I'm
an
not here.
You're an astute listener.
Thank you.
It just makes you laugh.
I was not golfing.
I know you weren't. No. We've been traveling a lot. I was telling, and Phil Davison, Mid-America Carbon.
Yeah, thanks for introducing me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Phil's here.
Yeah, Phil's here. Hey, Phil carries the show.
Hi, right. Phil.
The glue.
So, yeah, I was saying, like, literally, and now another one was added, in the next 8 weeks, we have 7 Saturdays that we have to be in different states.
I'm excited.
This is not going to be easy. So, we got a massive show today. We got Tim Dre, the president of the Illinois AFL-CIO, which is my favorite AFL-CIO.
Front of the show.
Out of all
yep,
of them.
Yep. Sponsor of the show as well. And then we have a whole crew of electricians coming up from Bloomington, Illinois, local 197 of the electricians. They have some interesting things to talk about. So we got all those. Let's talk some quick topics. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Wall Street Journal, right? No. Right-leaning Wall Street Journal. They did a poll.
I saw this 70%
of Americans believe that the American dream is dead.
Yeah.
75, right?
Was it 75?
I believe so.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I think they said that 80% of Americans were either pessimistic or very pessimistic that they could afford to buy a home. That's 80%.
And yeah, the numbers at the turn of the century, I think, was like 80% the other direction.
Yeah. For sure.
80% believed in the American dream still. Yes.
And I think they're right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's getting tougher and tougher.
Phil, you love comedy, and I love comedy, and Ken, I know you do too. Bill Burr, a comedian who's been pretty decent on social commentary, he was saying the other day, I love billionaires. I have no problem with billionaires. But if you're a billionaire and your workers can't make rent,
yeah,
then maybe you could just be a 900 millionaire. Like, you're making too much money if your workers can't afford to live somewhere.
Absolutely.
You hear that, Walton family?
Yeah, what are they up to? Like 49 billion amongst 7 or 8
They make
heirs.
More per second than you and I and Ed make a year.
Yeah, you guys had a great conversation last week, which is surprising because I wasn't here, but you guys had a great conversation about the amount of American workers who are working full-time but have nowhere to live.
Yeah.
And I started a book called No Place for Us.
Right.
You're writing it?
It's an award-winning book. No, I'm reading it, which is just as hard for me as writing a book probably is for most people.
I thought you meant sports book.
Yeah, I'm starting a book.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking bets. Taking bets on NFL. But it's all about that. It's just about the amount of workers who are working full-time and can't afford anything. They're living in cars and how this is not getting better. This is only getting worse.
It's getting worse and worse.
And look what happened a couple of days ago. The jobs report came out. So you would think that when they fire the BLS guy, the next jobs report would be glowing.
I know. I was expecting that.
Well,
I thought it'd be cooked a little bit.
This jobs report creates an argument to do what?
Fire the guy again.
No, lower interest rates.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
But the job reports is still bad.
It's so bad.
I don't care what interest rates are.
50,000 below projections, I believe. Yeah.
They added, 22,000 jobs in August. That's it. And they actually went back and they redid the numbers from June, and it turns out we had a loss. And it's the worst. What do we have? Five or eight consecutive?
Six months of consecutive constriction on manufacturing jobs.
Yeah.
And I mean, those manufacturing jobs were growing. What was driving that, Ken? What kind of manufacturing jobs were being driven?
What kind?
That have been like renewable energy.
You mean like, you mean like chips and EVs and renewable energy and green? You mean those things?
Yeah, but that's all the new woke.
Yeah.
So it's
there a correlation there? Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, where these jobs, where the losses come from, what it said was construction, manufacturing, and the federal government. What? The federal government. Right.
Yeah, we just lost 500,000 more potentially.
Unbelievable. So there were mass layoffs in August. 86,000 people were laid off, and basically everything is saying that the economy is certainly not working for the worker bees.
That's for sure.
Right.
I saw something that's like 40% of American workforce participates in some sort of gig economy, and
And there's some sort of like side hustle or whatever.
Yeah, some sort of side hustle, some sort of flexible employment.
Like. Yeah, and those are next on the chopping block. Look at Waymo. They're getting rid of drivers. We had a big warning this week about AI.
Oh, that's right. And so set this up. Explain this to the audience, Ed.
Yeah, the First Lady led a summit on AI.
So what did she say?
The robots are here.
The robots are here.
That's how she starts
the thing? After the press conference, I think a third of the people screamed and ran from the building because they thought they meant the robots were in the building.
We're actually here.
It was the liberal media ran away.
T-1000.
but yeah, so the robots are here, everybody.
I mean, we're poking fun, but at least someone over there is like sounding the alarm. Like, yeah, this is like a serious threat. It seems like everyone else in that administration is like, nothing to see here. Remember, in the original draft of the Big Beautiful Bill said there will be zero regulation on AI.
Yeah.
Allow these people to do whatever they want. And it's like, that's not...
Well, it was like the zero. There was zero regulation on cryptocurrency. They took away a lot of the regulation on crypto. And earlier this week, the Trump family, I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did.
There is money to be made in this economy, not by most people, but they added $5
billion
in net worth in one day from cryptocurrency.
It's
the Trump coin.
Truly incredible that no one even bats an eye at that anymore.
What are workers going to do? I mean, there has to be a tipping point at some point where people say, look, I can't afford to not be able to afford. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, you know I mean? Can't feed my family. You're all telling me to get a job. Yes. I have a job.
As a matter of fact, I have two jobs.
Right.
So anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to talk with Tim Dre, and then we're going to talk to the electricians, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up with some other labor stories and perhaps even a little bit of good news right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil. So, super stoked today to have with us the great Tim Dre. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, good morning.
And you are the president of the Illinois AFL-CIO.
Yes.
And is that one of the...
That's AFL's, the AFL-CIO we like.
It's the one that we like.
Yes.
It's the one that actually does something.
That's right.
Okay. Not like the the national one. Yeah. Like this.
Correct.
This one actually puts its money where its mouth is.
Absolutely. They're busy.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are. So how many members, Tim, are represented by your organization?
850,000 here in the state of Illinois.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right. And what do you do? Like, just give the audience quick rundown of what you do.
We work on legislation, and then we try to make sure that the people who get elected to public office have the same values that working families do. So when we go to try to pass legislation in the General Assembly, we're talking to friends rather than adversaries.
It's a really good point. And so here's my question along those lines. And, you know, I don't want to be political, but labor in Illinois is not just a funnel for Democrats, correct?
No, not at all.
You have relationships on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the bill we passed this year, the Workers' Rights Safety Act.
Okay.
Bipartisan support.
Really?
To get it through. Yes.
All right. Yeah, so it's not like the Republicans are saying, no matter what labor says, they're saying no. Mm-hmm. You're able to walk in and talk to both Republicans and Democrats.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about the bill, right? There's been a bunch of legislation lately in the state of Illinois, the great state of Illinois, that is. I'm talking to you, Wisconsin. And the reason for some of this legislation is my understanding is to potentially backfill what we're about to lose in federal lands, right? So let's talk about that.
Well, you know, it's really very simple when you stop and think about it. You know, my father, grandfather, grandmother, mother fought for laws that would protect working people in the workplace. We love to see people go to work. But more than anything, we like to see people go home from work.
Yes.
Yeah.
In one piece.
Yeah.
Right? And so any rollbacks of these federal OSHA standards is very concerning to the men and women of organized labor.
Right.
So we passed a bill that said, hey, if there are rollbacks in Washington, D.C. on OSHA standards, Illinois will keep the standard as of April 28th of 2025, which happens to be Workers' Memorial Day. Those standards are in place on that day will remain intact. And how are we going to enforce that? We're going to use a private right of action so that anybody could go to the Department of Labor and say, hey, this is a violation of the Safety Act, and we're going to go to court to make sure that employers keep safety on the forefront.
Got it.
Yeah. In the workplace. So we're building a bulwark against.
And this has got to be something rollbacks. That's near and dear to you as a mine worker, because they've eliminated the workforce that defines cases as black lung. Yes. They're getting rid of the silica standards for safety. So mine workers are among some of the hardest hit workers in the country.
Right. Very, very dangerous job. And part of that act that we did, we made sure that the Mine Safety and Health Amendment, MSHA Act,
right.
yep.
was covered as well. Because, again, we like to see people go home, be with their families, be able to play catch with their kids because they didn't lose an arm at work.
Well, listen, I think, you know, everybody's seen the tide coming from the feds, right? The all these layoffs in the federal sector, layoffs and not only layoffs, but loss of collective bargaining rights, right? And rolling back, you know, various labor rights agencies, declaring the NLRB unconstitutional, which the Fifth Circuit did. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elon Musk, for that. The trillionaire, by the way.
Yeah, it's the best ruling money could buy.
So you have to have now state action, right? And look, the Fed has said for years, state rights, states' rights, states' rights, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Well, then here in Illinois, we're going to have states' rights. And that states' rights is going to be worker protections for thanks to people like you and labor getting together and pushing in the same direction and saying, you know, prevailing wage. Talk about that one, right?
Yeah. Well, prevailing wage is like, you know, there was the Davis-Bacon Act.
Right, right.
For federal
That's
projects.
Right. Yeah.
And then we had for Illinois projects a prevailing wage act. And even though the Illinois Prevailing Wage Act has increased every June,
yes.
July 1st,
yes.
Davis-Bacon was just kind of like stationary. Yeah. So with the help of the laborers, we passed a bill that would say that on public construction projects, the higher of the two prevails. So
pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And there's already been some rollbacks on federal prevailing wage on the minimum wage on federal projects, right?
They got rid of that, and they're trying to get rid of, like, you know, the caps on federal jobs. It has to be a certain amount of money now before federal prevailing wage kicks in. All this kind of stuff.
Like $35 million under Biden. I think that's been rescinded.
And I think that it bears mentioning that the Davis-Bacon Act, the federal prevailing wage act, was named after Representatives Congressman Davis and Bacon. They were both Republican.
Yes.
Republicans were different.
They cared about workers and wages.
What?
Yeah.
That was a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it still is here in Illinois.
Yes.
I mean, that's an important message.
I don't think it's gone everywhere in the country.
There
is a
caucus of like 50 Davis Bacon Republicans in
good,
the House. But
good.
Yes. It's dwindling.
So let me ask you this. It's dwindling.
Yes.
We got to find out. They haven't been tested in a while,
no,
to be
right.
fair.
We've got to take another litmus test.
But so we talked about this earlier off the air. Like, basically, at this point, a million federal sector workers have lost their collective bargaining rights.
Right. In March, the Trump administration took about 500,000 workers' collective bargaining protections. And then right before Labor Day, as if to kick off Labor Day, he took away the protections from the National Weather Service, a couple of other agencies, NASA. So they think that that'll total probably about 400,000-500,000 more workers. So you lose a million union members in the nation, where we only had 14.3 million to begin with.
So they're going to say, Tim, you know, they're going to say, well, look, labor's decreasing, therefore people don't like the unions and you don't need them. Look, they just lost a million members. Well, no, we didn't. You took it away from us, you know? And 70% of the country says if they could join a union today, they would.
Right.
Right? When JP Morgan Chase, their bankers are joining a union, then that's really telling you something. But how does that affect Illinois, Tim?
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to say is, you know, the Supreme Court said that when Biden tried to lower the college debt payments on
student loans,
they don't start out their careers with a home mortgage. The Supreme Court said he exceeded presidential authority.
Right.
But when he
canceled, you're not saying the Supreme Court's playing favorites, Tim,
well,
are you?
I, you know, that's, it's very sad that we need three branches of government all being independent of one another, and that's that's really
we used to have that.
Right? I think that Department of Government Efficiency took those three branches and just put them all under one branch.
Yes. It's a very compliant Congress. Yes. And a
Clarence Thomas said, "Ginny, I need a ride to the Capitol." That was January 6th. Right? She happened to be going that way.
Yeah, she got up early for that one.
So, Tim, in that regard, right, and, you know, labor getting just hammered by this administration, how does it affect workers in Illinois? Because we have federal workers here, right?
Oh, a lot. Like Rock Island Arsenal.
Perfect.
And the VA hospital in Maywood.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he canceled the collective bargaining for a nurse.
Yes.
You know, taking a pulse of a veteran, a Vietnam veteran or an Iraqi war veteran.
Yeah.
They called it national security.
Yeah. Like, who herself might have been a veteran, right? Because isn't it like half of the employees at the VA are veterans themselves?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So canceling their collective bargaining agreement does nothing for national safety.
Well, no. It does a lot for privatizing the services.
Yeah, it's not only an attack on union members, but it's an attack on veterans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, look, you just hit the nail on the head, right? Because if you strip away all the nonsense and all the noise, it really always comes down to one thing, and that is the almighty dollar. So you're 100% right. They want to strip away all these, you know, government agencies. Why? Not like they're not going to need that work. This is going to be replaced by private companies, right? And who are those jobs going to go to, and who are those companies going to get?
AI.
Exactly.
As Melania Trump would say.
The robots are here.
What did she say?
The robots are here.
Yeah.
Is that Melania?
It sounds ominous. Yeah. She had a press conference.
Why did she say that?
It was to warn people about AI.
That was her press conference?
She chose to open it with the robots are here.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So the robots are here, and our country's response is, let's cut jobs from people who have good union, well-paying, family-sustaining jobs. So let's just get rid of all of them while the robots take over. That's the thing I can't wrap my mind around. You know,
well, Phil, you will. You will when the robots get into your mind.
Like, we're all acknowledging that this is happening, and so our response is, all right, well, let's just cut a lot of jobs.
For those of you listening out there, Phil is obsessed with robots.
I'm very obsessed
and
with
AI taking over the world. Right?
Yeah. Like if anything,
and I've kind of come around to that, Phil.
I know.
Don't watch the new Mission Impossible movie.
I did.
As ridiculous as those movies are, this last one I watched it, and I was like, hey, wait a second.
The entity.
I think this might be happening.
Exactly.
Well, Tim, aren't you glad you're here?
I'm happy to be here.
You get movie recommendations.
So what do you think about that? What's AI? Has that affected us here in the state of Illinois?
Well, absolutely, because there's automated vehicles that are trying to come in. And you know, part of even in transit, we don't want an automated autonomous bus running up and down LaSalle Street or any other.
You're 100% right. Would you get into a plane with no pilot?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
We have
absolutely not.
You know, local 150, you know, heavy equipment being run out there by, you know, it's just, we have to really be very, very careful. You know, obviously we want the jobs, but it's a safety aspect.
Of course it is.
For the public.
Of course it is.
You know.
But they'll ignore the safety aspect of it and go, hey, those autonomous cranes, just run themselves. That's fine, right? You know, or these Waymo, these taxis, and, you know, the Uber drivers that are about to be replaced, et cetera. We need to do something about that here in Illinois. And if we have the state's rights to do it, then we should do it, right? Let's protect those jobs from automation and AI, things like that, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, we got to take a break. Tim, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
for everything that you do. We really appreciate everything that you do for the working class of Illinois, not just for labor, but everything that you do affects the rest of the worker bees in here in Illinois. So
agenda,
thank you.
Right?
Right? So, all right, listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So, we got a room full of electricians today, and they're not working. They're actually here to talk on the radio. So, let's welcome IBW Local 197 out of Bloomington, right? Bloomington?
Correct.
All right. So we got Mike Rakes. You're the business manager, right?
Yep. That's correct.
How long have you been an electrician?
I've been an electrician since 2000.
So 25 years.
Correct.
You like it?
Love it.
And how long have you been business manager?
6 years.
Were you on staff before that?
I was for a couple of years, worked out in the field, went through a five-year apprenticeship, worked in the field, and then was elected to executive board and then president and then came on staff.
Excellent. Good for you. We got Matt Stroop, who's not on the mic, but Matt, thank you for coming. He's the president. So these guys do a president and business manager in two different roles, right? Yep. Some unions combine them, some unions don't. We got Jason Francis. Jason, you are...
A fifth-year apprentice.
Okay, I'm going to get back to you because you're actually the reason that you guys are all here today. And Les Parker, you're the training director?
Yes, sir.
All right, how long have you been doing that?
3 years.
3 years? Yeah. And how long have you been an electrician?
Since 2001.
Okay, so right about the same time, huh? Mm-hmm. And so where's your training site? Is it next to the hall?
In Bloomington, we're connected to IBW Local 197.
Got it. And is it just the training is just for you guys, or you do other locals?
No, just us.
Okay, gotcha. Are you guys inside, outside, or both?
Inside and telecom.
Inside and telecom.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We always say the inside electricians are the smart ones.
Well, it gets cold outside.
Yeah. It's a good gig.
I'm joking, nope. Because if you talk to the outside ones, they're like, oh, we work outside, you know, we're working, I don't know what they say.
The outside, on the trucks, they work very close to those power lines, and I generally try to fashion my day to stay away from those power lines.
You're 100% right. Yeah. So, I think I told you this, you know, just say this once again, you know, on my father's side of the family, IBW Local 3 in New York forever, grandfather, uncles, et cetera. So, obviously, a fan of the electricians. So, Jason, right?
Yes.
You reached out for us here at the Workers' Mic, and I think the email slipped through the cracks for a while, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
We didn't see it for some time.
We get flooded with so many, so.
Well, it's tough to keep
that,
up. Yes. Right?
That and Ashley lost it.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, I know it's hard to get on this radio because you guys are the number one radio station or radio program, that is.
Now you know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you've got a guy who knows exactly what he's talking about.
Hell yes. Nationwide. Absolutely. Thank you.
We need to extend
And that's
segment.
How you get on the radio, folks.
That's right. He'll be back next week also.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Hold on. You see Phil's chair over there? Get ready to fill it.
Heck yeah. Anytime.
So, listen, you reached out and said, listen, I want to get on the workers' mic, and I want to talk about a role that I was appointed to. So, you're a fifth-year apprentice, right? So, how long was your apprenticeship? 5 years, right?
5 years,
okay, so
yeah.
You're about to become a journeyman.
Yeah.
All right. How old are you?
I'm 36.
36?
Yep.
Okay. And when you started then when you were 31?
Correct.
Is that the math?
Wow. I can't believe I just saw that.
Can you believe that?
That looked like I saw steam coming out of your
ears. I did that without a calculator.
That's pretty
good. Just for the record, everybody, I did not use a calculator. So you started at 31, which is, you know, not necessarily usual, not terribly unusual,
right.
but single dad?
No. Married.
Oh, you're married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two kids.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Your wife is here.
You met his wife about 45 minutes ago.
Oopsie. All right. But you start late in life, right? So did you go to college before? What were you doing before?
Yeah. So when I graduated high school, I actually did apply for the apprenticeship.
Okay.
But the economy was not very good at that time.
Sure. Right.
2007, 2008.
Uh-huh. Yep. We remember that.
I had went through the testing,
mm-hmm.
interviews. I was put on the wait list.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I was going to Heartland Community College, and then when I was getting ready to transfer to Illinois State University, the former training director had called me and said, hey, are you still interested? And I said, at that point, no, I got money wrapped up at Illinois State University.
Right.
So I graduated from Illinois State University, and then I worked in insurance and finance. And then I just wasn't really...
You didn't want to be a finance bro?
No.
I don't blame you at all. And so fast forward, you get into the electricians now, right?
Correct.
You get into 197.
Yeah.
All right. And so you start your career at the age of, you know, 31, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And you like it so far?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. So you got to say that because you're the business manager sitting next to you.
That's right.
You're sitting in between the business manager and the training director. So... but you were appointed to something that I want to, you know, touch on, and that's quite frankly how and why you're here.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So I was appointed as an ambassador for apprenticeships, and it's a statewide initiative.
Okay.
And basically, it's to get not only trades and labor, but other companies and industries to get into the program of apprenticeships.
Got it.
To recognize that. Because you don't necessarily always have to go to college to take on a job.
Right.
Well, not anymore. There are no jobs.
Yeah.
With AI.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's kind of the initiative. We want more businesses to get the apprenticeships.
Yeah. Going, okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And Mike, this is a it's not just electricians. This is trades wide, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And so has it been successful?
As far as I know, yeah. It's I know there's some a group from Aon.
Oh, that's great.
United. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, these are companies that you wouldn't typically see for getting on board with apprenticeship programs.
But that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I think Microsoft as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We had one with them, yeah.
That's awesome. So then you go out and you just spread the gospel basically, right?
Exactly.
And when you become a journeyman, do you have to step down from this role?
Well, yes, okay. I will, but we're all organizers.
You know? Yes.
Every single one of us are.
You got the right idea.
I like it. Yes. All union. Everybody should do. Like, what's labor's goal? To organize the unorganized. That should be our goal. We lose sight of that sometimes, right?
Yeah. Ken was a labor lawyer, but the first thing on his business card for as long as I've known him was organizer.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is an organizer first.
I literally just organized. And it was a little bit easier as a lawyer because I could just say, you know, I'm a lawyer. And people are like, what? Like, I believe everything you say. I'm like, oh, I'm going to lie about it anyway. But you'll believe it because I say it with authority. So that's a really cool story. And it's heartwarming to hear that. How's work for you guys?
Work's busy.
Is it busy?
Extremely.
Yeah. And what's up with the training side? You guys training a lot of apprentices or what?
Yeah. Right now we have a record. We have 106 apprentices.
Whoa.
For just McLean County.
Whoa.
What have you got going on in McLean County? There's got to be something big.
Rivian.
Okay.
Manufacturer.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I didn't know. So they're building a plant or what?
The existing plant is there, but they're also building 2 million square foot buildings for an assembly line and logistics.
Is that what you're talking about, the project labor agreement?
No, project labor agreements are different. We pass those with our municipalities,
okay.
The city of Bloomington, the town of Normal, and the McLean County.
Really?
Yeah.
So basically, what's the thrust of that? Explain.
It's something that we've been working on for years, and the city of Bloomington, the city manager was the first one that was very attentive, and with the city council's support, we were discussing making sure that we have local people on construction jobs that
absolutely.
Are paid for by taxpayer dollars, and they were very cognizant of that and wanted to see local people working on those jobs instead of people coming from other communities out of state and taking our money and going home. So that's how the ball got started. City of Bloomington passed it, and then Town of Normal took it up. And then we had new leadership on the McLean County Board last year, and the chairwoman put it on the agenda, and it passed unanimously by a group of Republicans and Democrats.
That's good to hear, right? So like Tim said earlier, you're not just talking to the Dems, right? You're talking Correct. To basically Republicans as well, and especially in mid and downstate Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, it's relatively Republican, right?
It's a mixed bag. I mean, college town, Bloomington, right? So it's a little more purplish, I would think, right?
Probably. Yeah. We actually have flipped the board for the first time ever on the last election cycle. It was tied up.
Yeah.
It's
but PLAs are good for everybody, right? Yeah. And so a PLA, for those listening that don't know, is a project labor agreement. And what that does is it means that the job is going to be built, unions can be used, you know, local workers in local economies. And one thing that the union gives up is the right to strike, right? So during that project, we have a dispute mechanism, and if there's a problem, we use that dispute mechanism, but the job will not get shut down because we have a project labor agreement.
Right.
Now, the feds are trying to strip those, correct?
Yeah. At the federal level, take away PLA requirements, take away prevailing wage requirements.
Right.
And the PLAs, I mean, it's a big deal because it applies to, in this case, taxpayer-funded public projects. And so you're using local workers who will take their earnings, put them back into the local economy, the local tax base. So taxpayers are getting their money's worth for these projects, which is supposed to be how it works.
Right.
Now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, but in many states, people don't understand that. So, you know, hats off to you for getting that done, for working hard and getting that done down there.
Yeah, Illinois has more PLAs than all the other states combined.
I wouldn't be shocked to hear that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Labor peace, though, right?
Exactly.
And so how's your local doing? I think you talked earlier, like you're organizing, right? I mean, look, that's like you said, like organize, right? Organize or die, join or die.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. We're up to 224 members. Around 2018, 2019, we had 285 members. Our apprenticeship is at an all-time high. At about 2018, we had 12 apprentices in the program.
Wow. So how many members do you have now?
428.
I think you said 228.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
400.
We can clean that up.
We'll clean it up. Okay. So how many members do you have now?
424.
Okay, and in 2018 you had what?
285.
Wow.
Okay, so
you've doubled over about 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy thing to do in central Illinois.
Right.
Correct.
Right? It's
correct.
Like you got to, you know, go body by body and small group by small group. It's not like you're organizing, you know, just... looking out the window, right? There's a job that's got probably more people on the job than your entire local, right? It's not easy to do what you're doing and where you're doing it. So kudos to you guys for doing that. How are the wages down there?
They're rising. Not as fast as we'd like to see, but we've had set record amounts on our wage increases the last couple of contracts. And, you know, we can point to market share, our organizing growth, membership growth, all the points that you're looking for. Quality training, locking up jobs with project labor agreements. We're all trending in the right direction.
So. How many applicants are you getting at the training center? I mean, you turn people away?
No, we'll take applicants. We do it once a month, and then we do it for a week in January. And the last 2 months, usually we get about 8 to 10 a day. We'd be getting 20 plus.
Wow. But where can people find more information about you guys?
On our website.
Which is?
www.ibew197.org.
Gotcha.
And then /apprenticeship for the apprentice.
If they want to talk about getting the apprentice. Let me ask you a question, Mike. Given the Trump administration's backtracking on the green energy projects and bills and things like that, has that affected you guys yet?
It will. Yeah. At the end of this year, when we're going to see the incentives be reduced, I highly think that's going to very well be a negative impact to our membership.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking on the radio. You know, the best example is that wind farm off of Rhode Island. It was 80% built, and, you know, they just decided, let's stop it. Like, let's not even just finish it or get rid of the incentives. Let's just stop the project. So people that moved up there, literally like, well, now what do I do?
Right.
You know what I mean? They thought that was going to be a job for the next 3, 4, 5 years, and all of a sudden it's gone. Right? So wind, solar, you know, like
electric
you talk about.
Vehicles, the Rivian.
Right? What about Rivian? Like, what are they saying?
I'm not sure. Mike could probably.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
It can't be anything good. We know that.
When the apprenticeship program is filled with people, and a lot of them are going to be going to work expanding the facility to build EVs.
Yes.
And there's a war on EVs.
Yes.
That's a bad thing for, you know, it's going to be a bad thing for people who are looking to start a career.
Here's my prognosis. All right. That war on EVs and green energy is not going to last forever.
It's good for business.
When Elon Musk is getting a $1 trillion package, I'm going to say that EVs are viable, absolutely going to happen. I was talking to a brother down in Kentucky. There's a Ford turnaround that's going on down there.
The Blue Oval, yeah.
It was crazy the work he was describing, and he literally has to move there 7/12 for 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? 7/12 for 6 months. I mean, that's working every single day for 6 months straight.
Wow.
You're going to make, you know, life-changing money, but that was to where they're taking their current plant and converted it to EV. Right? So I think, you know, for those listening out there, you know, at the moment, is it tough? Sure. Right? You know, hopefully we'll be able to replace those jobs and, you know, get infrastructure bills passed on local levels and things like that. But I do think that is short-lived.
Yeah, calmer heads will prevail on this.
I think that's right.
Business is driven by profitability.
Yeah. All right. So what's the, it's IBW Local 197.org?
IBW197.org.
Let me say it again. IBW197.org. They can find more information about your local down there. And if they want to join, just hit apprentice, right?
Apprenticeship.
Yep. Apprenticeship. Gotcha. All right. Listen, we want to thank you guys for coming up. Thanks for reaching out. We appreciate it. We appreciate the hard work that you guys are doing down there. I know it's tough, but thanks so much for coming. And we'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. If you need more information about the National Coalition of Labor and who we are and what we do and how we help, you can do one of two things. You can go to coalitionoflabor.org, or you can simply call 800-433-4444. 2099.
Careful though, because you'll answer that.
If you want to talk to Ken,
I'm not kidding. Either Ed or I will actually answer that call. Right. It goes to a cell phone. So anyway, that's a quick plug for the coalition. Labor news. I said that we're going to have some good news, and one thing is Boeing. Right. We reported on this. The Boeing workers in Missouri, I believe,
St. Louis area,
and they're on strike.
Metro East,
And so they turned down a deal, and these are the guys that make the fighter jets.
Yes.
Right? And gals.
And gals,
trades,
right?
Women build planes,
and they're machinists. And machinists are an aggressive union. And kudos to them. So they turn this thing down, and they're still out on strike. But no more talks are happening. And so, what does Boeing do? Boeing doubles down and says, "You know what? We're not going to talk to these folks anymore. We're not going to talk to you anymore. We're simply going to hire permanent replacements." And they put out ads and having job fairs to hire replacements for the machinists. Now,
for the construction of fighter jets. And this, listeners, is how we get beaten in a war. Okay? Hello. Anybody want to build a plane?
Hello, I'm here to apply to make a fighter jet. Well, hi, what's your experience? I have none. Yeah. But I'm willing to cross a picket line and be a scab.
Yeah.
You are hired.
They're just going to transfer a bunch of ICE agents in to build planes.
But, all right, so check this out. Number one. If you're listening and you're thinking about applying for a job in at Boeing in the St. Louis area, don't.
Yes.
Why? Why? Because the worst person in the world is somebody that will take your job. That is the scab and a half, right? I mean, it is just, you're a replacement worker, you're a strike breaker.
If you're trying to help the company break a union, keep paying workers.
And karma will come and get you, right? Do not take somebody's job. I mean, you might as well take food off their table, take their money, hold them up. Do not take their jobs. And people are going to say, free market, capitalism, et cetera. It's wrong. It's morally wrong.
Period, and it's almost as despicable as taking a job working for ICE.
Dean Cain. And so why are they going to after permanent replacements, right? Not temporary, like, hey, let's get through the strike. We're going to use a temp agency to bring people in to try and keep the manufacturer going. Permanent replacements. And you know what permanent means? It means forever. It means these guys never come back to work. Why? Because it's an economic strike.
It's a strike over wages and benefits.
Strike over wages and benefits. And under law, our antiquated, horrible labor law, that means that if you're striking over wages, you can be permanently replaced. Permanently. Forever. Not like temporarily until the strike is over. Permanently replaced. That's why if you see most strikes, especially around Chicagoland, it says on strike for unfair labor practices.
Yeah.
If you do that, you cannot be permanently replaced. If you just strike over wages, you can be permanently replaced. So bold move on the machinists, right, to do it and just go on economic strike. You know, I have always been taught not to do that because you can be permanently replaced.
There's always a ULP.
Yeah, of course there is. So, all right, 2 seconds of not bad news, right? We're not going to look good news. That is McDonald's. McDonald's CEO came out and said, this economy's not working. Not working for working people.
People can't afford their burgers.
Yeah, and he's right, right? Yeah. So they're having the lower prices and whatnot. And then And then he also came out and said, you know what? They need to be paid a minimum wage. No more of this tipped wage stuff, right? Now, of course, he had an agenda because they think they're losing business to restaurants that pay that wage, et cetera, et cetera. But he withdrew from the National Restaurant Association and said,
and he's given back some of his $13 million. Oh, wait, no, he's not giving any of that back.
He's not doing that? No.
He's going to keep that $13 million.
Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah.
What'd you say the call's coming from?
The call is coming from inside the house, people.
Yes.
The wealthy are saying the economy doesn't work for workers. And the irony is going to knock me out of this chair.
Well, there's only one reason they're saying this, and don't, you know, I'm not saying that this guy has altruistic reasons. The reason he's saying it is because they're losing money.
Yeah. Right?
It's cheaper now to go to Chili's, for example, or whatever it is, than to go to McDonald's.
There's nothing left for the Hamburglar to steal.
Good one. Nice. Way to go. What's the other guy's name? The purple dude?
Grimace.
Oh, Grimace. Yeah. Grimace. All right, listen. We got to go. But we will be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNradio.com.